going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And we welcome you to another quarantined edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shofko, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, is Alan Medlock from Red Dirt Redbird and AMedlock1 on Twitter. Noticed Derek Gould tweeted out one of his cartoon drawings of the Mutual statue with the mask on it, and it said Meet Me at Mutual at some point in time, and well, here we are. So, you know, I'm sure that's what he meant. It was us broadcasting again, so that's why we're here, just for Derek Gould. Because it's really, Al and I were talking earlier, there's really not much going on, of course, but, you know, thought we'd just get together. We can talk about what's going on in our personal lives with this whole thing. And Alan, I know we were talking about it beforehand, but, you know, things have been a little bit fun this week, I guess. Maybe that's not the word for it, but, you know, we've been home, we've been trapped up. I know you haven't been doing your different aspects of your job. So, you know, what's this week been like for you?
Well, if any of our listeners didn't know, or we had anybody that's new, I'm from Tulsa. I live in Tulsa, and we are in the definite shelter in place mode to where it's enforceable by the police. And that's been going on since last Saturday. So, they're trying to get ahead of the curve here, definitely. And they've really locked stuff down. So not a whole lot, you know, schools are canceled here the rest of the year, and the kids are doing all their schoolwork on their home computers and stuff like that. So, been kind of boring. A lot of that, I pretty much office from home anyway, but, you know, most of the time throughout the week, I'm usually in surgical cases or in hospitals, which those have all been canceled through the rest of this month. And now it's just a lot of computer work and, you know, stuff like that. So just kind of like everybody else, not a whole lot going on, and just trying to pass time and stay busy the best I can and, you know, try not to go crazy.
Yeah, that last part is the difficult one for sure. You know, here in Arkansas, of course, we're still not in a shelter in place or anything like that. It's you know, everybody's encouraged to stay home. Obviously, everybody is, you know, limited. The restaurants are closed to dine in and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, people still going to work, so still doing their jobs. And happened to notice that, you know, somebody asked the governor about that this week, and he said, look, you know, even if we put a shelter in place law, all those places that have that have a lot of exceptions to it. And, you know, the exceptions would be then that 700,000 Arkansans would still be going to work. Found out that one of those jobs is accounting services. So apparently, even if we do shelter in place, I'm still going to work. It's an interesting,
of course, yeah, you know,
it's weird.
It's funny. A couple of weeks ago, it was called a safer at home, and it was try not to move as much, kind of the same thing you guys probably have, and only essential businesses could stay open. Well, those essential businesses turned into pretty much anything that wasn't a restaurant and bar, or anywhere that people can gather, because you could apply and within like a day find out that you were an essential business and there wasn't really any guidelines to it. They're starting to crack down on that a little bit more now, you know, so it's funny. I would almost be certain that the accounting firms are one with everybody trying to get stuff in, especially, you know, with the stimulus packages now, that anybody that hasn't done their taxes, you know, trying to get them in as quick as possible. But I don't know if that's, at one point I would say you're unfortunate because you have to go in, but I'm not so sure I feel that way after being home for 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, I will say the last couple of weeks, of course, as I think we mentioned maybe last week, we had one of our employees test that as positive. Since then, we've had another one test, and one that pretty much had it that didn't get tested, but just kind of wrote it out at home. You know, that's three. We only have like 10 people in our office, 10 to 12. So it was a little bit, you know, we shut things down a lot. And so I was the only one in the office for a bit. And that was kind of nice, honestly, get out of the house, but not have to deal with anybody, any actual people. So that's always fun. But this week we did a little bit more rotating, and I tried to work a couple days from home, and that's harder to do. And I mean, Alan, I know you've done it some of it, but I find it a lot. I mean, I was able to get some tax returns done, and that worked out. But you know, the focus to stay at it when you're sitting at home in your comfortable clothes, and you know the kids are in there doing their work, and you know you want to get up and you know get something to eat and get something to you know maybe catch you know check on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. And not that I wasn't doing that at work anyway, but it's a different experience working at home.
Yeah, it's a discipline. Yeah, you know, that's the thing, is there's times where, especially during the baseball season, when you have a lot going on, you know, it's very easy to get sidetracked. And, you know, a lot of mine, I'm pretty lucky to where mine's all returning emails, which you could do that. I mean, you have an office in your pocket at any time now, sure. You know, with your phone, but no, it's invoicing and stuff like that, which a lot of times the earlier you get those out, the better, which is good for me because I like to get stuff done as early as I can. So it actually suits me a lot better than I expected it to in the beginning. And it's becoming so commonplace now in my industry that that's just kind of how you expect it to be done, to where you stay out of the an office. For me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, if there's a situation where I can keep the implants and everything that I use at a storage locker, a well-conditioned room, to where you don't have to keep them in your garage and have that liability, and do all the paperwork and whatnot at your own desk and take care of your computer work and phone calls and in your own time. I said it's pretty beneficial. So, but I completely understand in a situation where now you come in from an office setting and that's how you're used to doing it, it would be difficult.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, it was nice to, you know, I guess at this time of year, when you've got returns, you sit down, you do a return, and you plug on through it, and it's maybe a little bit easier to, you know, you keep rotating through like that. But yeah, it was a little bit different scenario. It looks like we're going to be back at the office this week, coming week. Still not opening the doors for clients to come in, but you know, for me, not as much, but you know, we got people that are doing bookkeeping. We're keeping, you know, office, you know, writing payroll checks and things like that. That kind of stuff's important. And so I guess that's why it gets on the essential list, but we'll see how that all works out. It's just a weird situation. I mean, so much of this, you know, I think we talked about it before. I've mentioned that, made this idea that, you know, it felt like, you know, snowstorm, felt like you got to stock up and you're going to, you know, ride the storm out. Well, it's a little harder to do that when it's 75 degrees outside. You know, if it's weird to think about, you know, kind of sheltering in place, if you will, while the weather's getting nice and everybody wants to be outside. And it hasn't, unfortunately, stopped some people. I know last week, a lot of people were at the state parks, enough so that the governor kind of came down on that. But is it going to be harder, do you think, as the weather gets better? I mean, we're kind of bouncing around. You know, we were talking about how it was 70 yesterday and 30 today over there. We're still bouncing around that early spring, but once it gets into that 80s and stuff, I feel like it's going to be very difficult for people to still want to stay home.
Sure. I agree with that. I mean, it's one of those to where I hope the theory that this is going to run the same cycle as your common flu, to where the warm weather affects it and curbs it a little bit that way, because it's tough for me personally to stay in. You know, and I've done a lot of yard work. And if it wasn't for the what we're dealing with today, I mean, it was in the 70s yesterday and the high 30s today. That has been the only reason that today, with the forecast of today and tomorrow being cooler, is the only reason why we haven't planted our garden and some trees that we bought. You know, and that's, and I know that's not getting out and running the streets and doing whatever, but I'm going to get tired of that quickly. You know, and I, you know, personally, it's going to be tough. So hopefully that things start getting figured out here in the next few weeks, to where we can get into May. And, you know, that's usually when the consistently nice weather starts around here. And, you know, maybe we can figure some stuff out, because I'll be guilty of, of being a little stir crazy with the weather.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get out and do much, and I walked 3 miles this week. I mean, that's just unheard of for me. So I think we're all kind of getting into that. So we need something to distract us, and we're not getting it on the baseball field. You know, there was a bit of a, I don't want to say it's a report. It was a rumor. It came out of a guy from Chicago that I read, you know, where they were talking about basically 100 game seasons picking up right about July 1st. I think that's right. And basically picking up the schedule at that point, filling in games, maybe playing 2 or 3 weeks after into October. Now, I'm still, I know we've doing, and schedule is going to be one of those things we're going to continue to talk about as we still don't know anything else. But I'm still kind of figuring out how you're going to pick up a schedule from any point and try to fit in some extra games. Because, I mean, like the Cardinals will have missed, you know, all 7 games of the Dodgers. How do you fit in three games out in LA? How do you fit that, just squeeze that in here and there? I mean, you can't just say, oh, we'll go play LA, you know, on an off day. Well, then we'll play another day in LA on another off day. I mean, I don't know how this is going to work. I mean, I also understand you can't really throw everything out the window, but I don't know how this is all going to work to make things even feel reasonable without tacking in, you know, a whole big road trip at the end of the year on into, you know, the first 2 weeks of October.
I'm curious about that as well, especially when they made the announcement how more than likely they're just going to pick up the schedule where they, where it is in the, on the calendar and kind of go from there. And I understand logistically and everything, it doesn't make a lot of sense to remake it. And I don't know if they would have enough time whenever they have a clear idea that that's when they will be able to start. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like more of a, hey, we're going to start here. It's not ideal, but we're going to finish the season out. We're going to tack on, you know, 3 weeks of games there at the end of the season into October. Probably going to do some neutral site games in November in the playoffs, and that's going to be your baseball for this year, and then we'll figure it out next year. That's the feeling that I get. You know, whenever they get to go ahead, they're just going to go with it and figure it out from there, and I'm sure that those last 3 weeks are probably going to be a lot of division games if they can, but if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how they line it up, and even that part of the conversation is – it makes me wonder if it's not easier not to move on and not have a season, as bad as that sounds. Mm-hmm. I do not want that situation to be, trust me, at all. I mean, there is a part to where I thought, man, if they can't start in June, why start at all? And then I kind of feel that way. I've never really felt that way about July because I didn't realize that I realized it, but when you look at it, it's still so feasible to have a basic, not a complete season in your 162 outlook, but to have a ton of games to where you can get accomplished what you need to get accomplished. And even in July, if you can have that race to 100, that to me would be fun. But it just, I don't know. It sounds like there's a lot of obstacles, and the only way they're going to go about doing it is, hey, if we get started, we're just get starting and we're finishing. And that's just the way it's going to go. Sorry for the bad luck type situation.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's going to be, maybe not at equal disadvantages. I mean, anybody that, like I say, the Cardinals don't have to play the Dodgers at all that way, but they don't get to play the Orioles either. You know, the Cardinals should have had their home opener against the Orioles this week. You know, you'd like to think that's at least 2 wins, if not 3, that they could have had. They're not going to have if they pick it up somewhere else. So, I mean, maybe it all works out in the wash. Maybe they just figure it does. But yeah, I think there may be something to that. This idea that they very well may not get the season going, and they kind of know it. And so they're able to say that because they know it's not necessarily going to matter. Now, hopefully, like I say, hopefully not. And I know that they want to get a season in. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if nothing else, the owners have fronted some money to the players that they don't have to get repaid back, though they don't have to pay the rest of their salaries, perhaps. So then maybe it works out that way. But, they've got, you know, if they're going to make some money, because it's going to be, man, if the teams don't play this year, that is a huge financial hit on all of them, because I'm assuming that, you know, there's no TV money coming in. There's no attendance money coming in. There's a lot of, you know, maybe some refunding going on. It's not going to be good. And then that makes this winter is going to be even worse. And and again, it's not their fault. There's nothing they can do much about this, but is this something that can really be a thing they don't recover from like 4 or 5 years, just because people may not come back, or they're still trying to come up with the ramifications of losing a whole season and all the season's revenue?
That's a good question. I mean, I worry about baseball's feasibility as more than the other sports, just because it's so, I feel like this is the major league sport that is most counting. I don't know how to word it. I think the fans, fan interaction and fans and attendance in general means so much more to baseball than to any other sport. And that's, I never thought of it like that. I didn't think about, the recovery period. Maybe it's the optimism, you know, that for me, that keeps thinking it's going to be the healing that America needs when it comes back. But the thought that, you know, how many are you going to be recovering from two broken legs whenever you do get back? Because you've had to fire all your non-essential staff and, you know, stuff like that. Now, I don't know. It's a scary outlook.
Well, and I mean, if it turns out that the baseball doesn't happen, and like you and I were talking about, you know, if football gets to happen, if football basically doesn't miss a beat, you know, it goes from the Super Bowl and then it gets to pick up, that's a big deal. But it feels like we were saying, it feels like if football can get started, the baseball can play somewhat, because by the time football needs to know, that's like late June, early July, where baseball would know that they could get going too. But imagine, you know, even if football gets wiped out, maybe it's, you know, the NBA and the NHL coming back this winter. That's the first things back. But if that's the case, if they come back, then by the time baseball comes back, yeah, it's great. And obviously fans will be excited and all that, but it's not necessarily that healing thing, because sports have returned, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, is it, again, it's not their, it's not a fault of their own making. It's not like it's a strike or a lockout or something like that, and people are just upset. But I know if you fall out of the habit of watching, if you fall out of the habit of, you know, figuring this out, and all of a sudden, you know, you're figuring out, you know, a game that's off a year, and what's that going to look like? There may be some people that just don't make it back.
Yeah, man, players and fans, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, that's, it's a scary thought. I mean, that's, like I said, I try to be as optimistic as I can and say that they'll try to get something in and they'll do something their best to play to Christmas if they have to. But I did think it's funny that they, the team did their meeting this week, promoted his meeting this week. And then there was I can't remember one of the, it wasn't Manfred. He hadn't been as public, but, you know, somebody did make the comment that there's no drop dead date where, you know, in the beginning they kind of acted like July 1st was probably their drop dead date. Probably says a lot of things too. So I don't know, just kind of take it day by day. There's so much uncertainty around everything right now. That's the toughest part to deal with to me, just right. Kind of like we were talking, you know, before we started recording, of the frustrating part and the slightly depressing part right now is the fact that we're a month in and we don't know anything more than we did a month ago. And that's worrisome to me. And it's pretty heavy to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I think we've talked about it. I've written about, it's one thing when, you know, it's 100 days, you know, like in the off season, and you can just count down. Okay. Now we're, it's 95. Now it's 90. Now it's 85. You know, we're a day closer to baseball. We know that, but we don't know if that's, you know, we've cut a day off of a 3 month gap, if we've cut a day off of a, you know, over 12 month gap, you know, and we're talking about, you know, opening day 2021. I mean, who knows? Hopefully, like I say, hopefully we're getting closer every day to some baseball coming back this year. But, you know, if you read the news and you look at the stuff, you know, the projection is, it's not, it's not even halfway done yet. So it's kind of worrisome. And we just don't know how big this is. And especially, you know, like you said, Tulsa's been proactive. Arkansas hasn't had just a ton of cases. It's definitely not anything like New York and stuff like that. So some of it doesn't hit us as closely, you know, as much as it does some of these other places. So it's hard for us to say. It's like, man, what, you know, you almost kind of feel like, oh, we should be able to play, even though we know we can't, but we just don't see that impact as much as some others do. But it may take a while. I mean, and I don't know. I have, just looking at what the numbers have done in this last month, boy, it makes you worry about when they could actually get back. And then you worry about, you know, if you come back too soon, triggering it off again. And then, you know, basically having to shut down, because if they catch it, if a second wave starts, then you're just done.
Yeah. That's like the Asian leagues are having to deal with right now, you know, probably went back a little too soon and had to have another shutdown. I mean, it's one of those to where during the season's tough. Like I don't see being out now, especially since with the new CDC guidelines that are going to keep everybody away until the end of April. I mean, that's 6 weeks since the NHL and the NBA have shut down. I can't see a way that they come back. You know, yeah. They're super creative, but you know, baseball at this point now, you're looking at, you know, last week we said 2 weeks. I think you're probably closer to 3 weeks, and it may be a month of spring training before they get it started. You know, or at least I would say at least 2.5-3 weeks to get back up to speed. So I just can't imagine that you know, a sport that's in season already could actually restart that quickly. You know, it's just tough. I mean, a reoccurrence, or, you know, a player getting sick or whatnot. And you're right. That's a death nail.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, NBA, NHL, I guess in theory they could come straight back for their playoffs, you know, maybe have them have a couple week of some sort of camps or whatever, get back into some sort of shape and then jump into the playoffs. Well, that's about their best case scenario right now. And, you know, I think even that's probably pushing it to some degree. So it's a weird thing. And, you know, and it's something we're still not able to get our hands around, I don't think, even though we have been dealing. I mean, it just, you know, what is it? It's 22 days, 23 days today since the last game that the Cardinals played. Doesn't it feel like it's been like 3 years?
Yeah, it was. and it just kind of compounds because you just days of the week just run together anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. We were even when we were talking before about the, you know, one of the last times I went to the grocery store, and I was like, man, I can't believe that was Sunday. You know, it just seems like yesterday. I don't know. It's weird how time has really just kind of sits. It's just standing still right now.
Yeah, we've talked about wanting time to slow down and. You know, not to get by us so fast, and then all of a sudden we've gotten our wish, it feels like, and maybe we shouldn't have watched what we wished for. But it's a strange thing. Now, they did officially cancel the London series, so the Cardinals and the Cubs will not be playing in London this year. That was just kind of a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You know, I don't know why they hadn't done it before now, but... You think this is something they'll just probably just throw back into the schedule and do next year?
Yeah, I wonder about that. Everybody has been noncommittal about it, and you know, I'm sure there's probably some legalities to it, and you know, we'll see. It wouldn't surprise me if it got held off a little bit longer. I kind of wonder how skeptical professional sports leagues and maybe amateur sports leagues as well are about some of the global travel. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if the World Baseball Classic maybe got delayed a year, especially considering that they're going to be playing in the Olympics in 21 now as well. So I don't know. I think that we're going to see a lot of limitations on travel that aren't necessarily legal limitations, but more of a personal. Let's hold off on these type things till, you know, a little bit. Let's heal some wounds before we do these things.
Yeah, I mean, I've just pulled it up just to check, and the World Baseball Classic qualifiers have been postponed. So you're you're probably looking at that being pushed off a year, just if nothing else, because of the logistics of trying to get that all together. You know, it was supposed to be played in March of next year, but, you know, if you don't have your qualifiers done in time, then that's not going to happen. So
now, and even with it being, you know, early April now, if you're looking at playing at into November of next year, you know, doing any organized baseball in March is going to be tough. You're really cutting it short.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I don't feel like gets talked enough about, you know, pushing this down, pushing this back into November or whatever the case may be. There's not much turnaround time. I mean, if you win the World Series on November 15th, you know, and you're back at spring training camps, I mean, some of those guys get there early, but probably wouldn't. But you're talking February 15th, so you're talking, what, 3 months? And that's not much time.
Sure.
To really heal up. Now, I know you're going to have maybe not as much wear and tear on people's bodies because of playing 100 or 115 games versus 162. But, we've seen it when the Cardinals have gone deep in the playoffs or won the World Series. And we talk about, man, that was a fast off season. Well, you know, it's even shorter if you're playing into mid-November. And then, I mean, if there's going to be any off season, which again, I'm very doubtful that there'd be very much activity just because there's not going to be a lot of money this year. But, you know, think about an active off season crammed into 3 months. Now that part would be good. At least people wouldn't be dialing around, you know, I mean, they'd be making their moves quickly, but I don't think people think that all the way through when they talk about playing deep this year.
Sure. Well, and I thought you had a really good point last week when you were talking about how long the NHL and NBA seasons are, regardless to where are they going to be. They can't extend their season out. I mean, because, the NBA playoffs and the Stanley Cup finals are usually run mid to late June. And, you know, are you really going to turn around and if you were to delay it and run mid to late July into August, and then you turn around and your camp starts in September, you know, that doesn't sound very practical at all. And then I thought that kind of after when we were off the air, I was kind of thinking about it through last week too, of are we going to see a situation where there's going to be a weaning into 162 period to where next year, if they do play into a late November type situation, do we see a shortened schedule next year to where it's you start a little bit later just because of the ramifications of the COVID-19 this year and into a delayed season next year to where you just don't have time to turn right back around to start as normal? You know, I that sounds like, business-wise, not the best move, but I do kind of wonder if we don't kind of see a hangover in professional sports to this.
That's a good point. I mean, they very well may, it might work into some sort of staggered, for take a couple of years to get back to full strength. You know, again, I don't know if they'd want to because owners are going to be wanting to get a full slate of games after missing the money, but that's right. I think that there's a real good idea there that, you know, okay, we're going to do this, which means we're going to back this other season up by 2 weeks or something. Now, could they then just go ahead and play another 162 with just, you know, pack it up just a little bit? Maybe, you know, in which case, you know, maybe it would work out better so that then in 2022, you could get started at a regular time. But, I don't know. That's a good point because they probably will. I mean, this could have ramifications going forward. Now, if they cancel the season entirely, then that's a different story. But you know, if they get a late start and play late, this could have a bit of a ripple effect.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that last week after we talked about it. You talked about, you know, it makes a ton of sense NBA and NHL wise because they seem to play so long. I mean, you hear that about both of those sports so much to where you're thinking, well, is that also one of those situations where it could affect baseball if they had to run late? And it seems to make a lot of sense. And you know, and the first, what kind of got me thinking about that is the comment that you made about how you wonder if this isn't going to open the door for some changes that you think are just for 2020 that may be permanent changes, you know, down the line. And I do kind of wonder if that, if this isn't going to open up some of those doors to, well, see, shortened season is actually pretty fun and this and this, but I don't know. I still, it's tough for me to think that they're going to turn down two seasons of shortened money, you know, whenever they, if they have the opportunity, they're just like, hey, let's get back out there. Guys want to play is what we're going to hear, but you know, they want those gates to be open.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And I mean, there's some guys, I mean, you talk about a season. If 2020 doesn't happen, does Adam Wainwright come back next year? I don't think so. Does Yadier Molina come back next year? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and there's players like that all over the league that are in their last year or two of probably what that should be their career. And if you take a year off, I mean, getting back into speed, I mean, there's going to be guys that just say, I can't do it. You know, I'm 35, I'm 36, I'm 37, and I've sat a year, and, you know, not that they're getting out of shape or anything. I'm sure they're staying in ball shape, but there's still a different level that you have to get to be, you know, competitive, you know, and there's going to be a number of them that just say, that's it. And so there are players, we've seen the last of probably. We just don't know who they are yet.
True. I mean, I can completely see that. I mean, that's why it's on one of these where it's such an unprecedented situation that any outcome we hear can't be surprising. You know, it's, I don't know. It's a very odd time.
Yeah. It's a bit of a mess. Like I said, Mo talked to the media through Zoom this week, which I figure is the only chance the card that we as bloggers have of talking to Mo this year, because I don't think we'll have a blogger day with the shortened season, or if there's not a season, we definitely won't. Didn't really say much. I think the only thing that was interesting maybe have been the injury situation. You know, it sounded like Andrew Miller is basically ready to go. Miles Michaelis is starting to play catch. Brett Cecil had to stop his rehab for a bit because he had personal issues, which seemed to crop up with him. He's been a bit starstruck snake bit, maybe a better word for it, since he came to St. Louis. This is the second time he's had something happen in the spring to him. But he sounds like he might be. So, you know, if they do get a season going, it feels like all those injuries we were talking about in the spring training are probably going to be ready to go. We're not going to have to worry about filling those gaps.
Yeah, one of the bright spots of a situation like this, to where there we were worrying about who's going to be this fifth starter, who's going to make the rosters and stuff like that, and then we kind of see that some of those moves were made. Then they explained it a little bit, which you and I talked a lot last week, that there seemed to be more to the story than what we were than what you could read about in the paper, you know, or online or whatnot. And he kind of cleared that up a little bit. And there's some skepticism to that injury news. But back to your point, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It sounds like the guys are going to be healthy if and when it happens. And that's always a good thing. And it just kind of seems like there's going to be more of a fresh start type, you know, no more. There may be an abbreviated spring training, but it may not be too abbreviated. You know, they're going to have to stretch it out and start over. And that just adds more time.
Yeah. I mean, there was that report I was talking about earlier about, you know, starting at July 1st and going with 100 games. He was talking about a 29-man roster for the first, I think it's the first month of the season there. So that would help somewhat, because you figure people take at least a couple extra pitchers, maybe even three. You could have like 16 pitchers on a roster. And that would help because the starters didn't have to go five or six to start out with. You kind of get that week or two of spring, you know, maybe a couple weeks of spring training, and then the first couple of weeks are almost like spring training. The games count, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Still got to get into game shape. There's also the idea that they're talking about the KK. I almost tried to say his name, and then we realized that's not a good idea. sending Kim back, not sending Kim back, but helping him get back to South Korea so he could be with his family, because this could be a long situation. And, you know, South Korea is a place that's done a pretty good job of keeping this thing under wraps. It's not perfect. I mean, as much as they've done, they're still having, they still have cases, they still have deaths. But I'm sure he'd much rather be there, and hopefully they're able to do that. Hopefully they're getting able to, they're talking about, they sent some of their Venezuelan players to the Dominican, thinking that, you know, they could get them. It's been a little bit difficult to get them back home too. So hopefully that can happen. Cause it's going to be tough for these guys, especially these minor leaguers, and Kim's a different situation, but same type of thing. You know, they're separated. They don't have any idea what's going on with, you know, families, and, you know, if you're going to be isolated, you'd rather be with them and things of that nature. It's, I mean, and, but especially those young guys, you know, they're probably what, 18, 17, 18, 19 years old, you know, away from their country. Man, this is hard.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. The situation that some of these guys have put in, you know, and you don't envy it, you know, it's a crazy situation all the way around. I did read an interesting article today, and I can't remember if it was a Baseball America article or whatnot. I should have pulled it up and ready about how, you know, there may be an idea of when the season starts, it's going to start all in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And which I thought was pretty fun, which I thought was pretty cool. I mean, I could see them starting at their spring training sites. I don't know. I mean, I don't think anything's off the table. You know, you brought up the situation. It's one of those. I was trying not to get into it. I felt like we talked too much about the virus situation last week. But, you know, you say that about South Korea they've done a good job of getting out in front of theirs. And I feel like the United States has probably done a pretty good job of getting out in front of theirs, aside from the huge towns or the cities. You know, I'm sure that Arkansas and that Oklahoma and, you know, your, some of your other, especially in the middle of the country, are probably going to get pretty high grades for the way that they handle things. I don't think a lot of Missouri people are happy with the way that they have carried it. But, you know, you take out, you know, Seattle and the Washington area and New York, and your numbers look a lot better right now. But that's also where that's the epicenter of everything, which is scary. But yeah, I thought about that when you said that. I was like, you know, we would probably be in a lot similar situation to South Korea if it wasn't for some of the bigger cities.
Could be. I mean, but you know, there's the differences of number of people crammed together. I mean, that's the fortunate part about the Midwest and the South, and some of these, you know, we're not real populated, so it's easier to, you know, for it not to spread. But then again, I mean, I'm looking at, like we were talking, some of these people that, you know, like this weekend, the hiking trails were like packed, supposedly. I wasn't there, but, you know, that's the kind of thing that's like, yeah, everything looks good now, but is this going to flare up in a couple of weeks where, you know, because all these people have been, you know, stupid and not staying home. You know, because there is some of that, you know, we were talking.
Sure. I mean,
Walmarts are finally getting to where they're limiting, but Walmarts and the grocery stores have been full, and, you know, people are just trying to get out and trying to stay sane, as we say. But, you know, it's a situation where at some point in time, it's never going to be as bad as New York. It's never going to be as bad as Washington, probably just because of the number of people and how it's spread out. But it could be still bad here in a couple of weeks as some of this stuff shifts. You know, seeing Louisiana have a whole lot.
Yeah.
Not that hard to come up a little bit farther.
Completely agree. I mean, that's the situation here. I mean, if it's you know, stupidity and arrogance. I mean, that's why Tulsa did the shelter in place. I mean, there was right after they had put out a guideline about how they weren't going to do that because Tulsa had done so well already that there was this big, not a rally, but yeah, I don't want to call anybody out because there's some people that listen to this and probably know what I'm talking about. But there was a meeting that shouldn't have taken place, and there was hundreds of people there, and it was public. And so the authorities got called, and you know, that was the straw that broke the camel's back on that. And like, hey, if you're not going to do it voluntarily, we're going to make sure you do it. It's basically what happened. So,
yeah, Yeah, and that's, I mean, it's remarkable that we have to do this for people. I mean, again, I understand getting out to get stuff and, you know, going to work when you need to. I'm not faulting that, but, you know, if you're out when you don't have to be, you know, how much does it take to understand that this may not be a problem now, but if you keep this up, it's gonna be.
Yeah.
And the rest of us would like to get a little bit of normalcy back. But I don't know. It just seems like we're still months away from that, and that's scary from a baseball point of view, because
very true.
You know, that makes it very difficult to easy to think that the season might not happen, but. Yeah. You know, even so, I think just the rest of us, you know, reading some articles, you know, about how, you know, this is tough on people with depression. This is tough. And, you know, if you're in an abusive situation, you're stuck at home. You know, there's some things that may get ugly after, you know, the first couple of weeks of quarantine can be kind of, you know, joked and joked around with, but after that, it could get bad, and hopefully it won't. Hopefully they'll be able to, you know, curtail the spread of this disease fairly quickly. But, you know, it's still, you know, we're till April 30th. We know we're pretty much kind of holed up for another month.
Yeah.
And like we said, each month this year has felt like about 3 years. So it's difficult, but you know, we just have to do it. And, you know, it does feel kind of silly that that's the big thing we have to do is stay home. You know, we don't have to go fight a war. We don't have to go, you know, do anything remarkable as some other generations have done, but we just have to stay home, and we can't even seem to figure that one out. So I don't know.
There's always the outliers.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully, if nothing else, public shaming is going to get onto some of these people at some point in time, hopefully. Yeah. You know, if there's enough of us that are saying, look, you know, you beat this into the people's heads enough that eventually they have to learn that it's that way. I think the Cardinals are putting some stuff up. I know Fox Sports Midwest next week is going to be running all the wins from the 2011 World Series. So that's the four games there. Looking at their website, they seem to have some stuff online as well. And OKM Wax is still playing the whole to the end, that last like month or so of the 2011 season every night. So you can listen to it. Apparently you can even listen to it online too, which is not what you can do with real games, but you know, these old games you can. So I noticed MLB's putting games up on Periscope, I think, every day. Today's was some Cubs game, so I obviously didn't want to watch that one. But a few other things like that. So there's still ways to watch Cardinal baseball, and a lot of us have the DVDs from the 11 or the 06 run, or you know, World Series films and stuff like that. But it's just, I don't know. For me, it's just not quite the same. I'm playing a lot of, you know, out of the park on the computer and stuff like that. But
yeah.
Yeah, you're just ready for some real games.
Well, and whenever I didn't watch any of the March Madness replays or anything like that, and I have watched very little of the baseball replays other than the opening day, you know, game six. Mm-hmm. It makes me miss it a lot, and my blood starts pumping, and that makes it worse. And so I'm doing some reading. You know, I've got. I'm reading MVP Machine and everything right now, so that helps. But other than that, as far as watching the competition, is pretty tough on me. But I do like to follow around a little bit, and I like to see some of the live tweets on it. So,
how's it reading that book? Because that one, if I haven't read that one yet, but that one's the one about the Astros, right? Is it difficult to read that after now in the light of whatever Houston has done?
Yeah, a little bit. You know what? I don't know. It's funny that you kind of even bring it up that way, because I didn't really put two and two together on a lot of it. And that's probably the best for the Astros, of how much we've forgotten about that already, just because, you know. But no, it's been a good read so far. I like Lindbergh anyway, you know, so that's kind of why I grabbed it. So I'll do a book review whenever I'm done here. You know,
I did when I wrote about it this week, yeah, but I read exactly. The Wax Pack. Which was about you know, a guy gets a pack of, 1986 ball cards and then tracks down all the players that are in it, which is really, really turned out to be a pretty interesting book. I mean, besides the fact that the cover is just absolutely great, because it looks exactly like a pack of cards. And, if you know, the book looks like a just oversized pack of cards, which is great. But to see what some of these players are doing, what they're doing, you know, what they've learned from their for playing ball. And, you know, one of the guys was Gary Templeton and spent a lot of time talking about his incident in St. Louis that got him sent out of there and, you know, his point of view on that, which obviously didn't make St. Louis look very good. He tried to find Vince Coleman. He wasn't successful, but the people that he talked to didn't have a lot of great things to say about Vince Coleman, which is an interesting point of view that we don't necessarily see as Cardinal fans. So it was all, you know, I guess the other one that had a Cardinal tie was Rick Sutcliffe, because, you know, he finished his career here, but they didn't spend much time talking about that. But it's interesting. I mean, some of these guys, you know, are into another career, or they're, you know, most of them weren't big stars. He couldn't get Carlton Fisk was in that pack, but he wasn't able to really talk to Fisk, and Doc Gooden stood him up. And, you know, some of the big names didn't really talk to. So a lot of these guys he's talking to were, you know, the journeymen and things of that nature, which still makes very good reading. But, you know, a lot of them just, you know, having to deal with not being in the game anymore. And some of them have a problem with it. Some of them really don't. Some of them were kind of, you know, they took a few years and they've kind of come to terms with it. So it's a pretty interesting book if you hadn't read it yet.
Yeah, that's I would like to read it, especially after the write up. And I didn't even know it existed until we talked about it last week. So,
yeah.
And those are my wheelhouse of cards. You know, those mid to late 80s. That's when I was going to a bunch of shows and stuff like that. And that 87 with the wood background, like you and I talked about last week, those are just the classics. So,
yeah, those 87 ones are where I started collecting.
And so no,
always the ones I think about. But it's interesting because, you know, talk about wood grain. You know, I think I've mentioned my father-in-law's set that he gave me or I received after he passed, because he collected the 62, which is that
wow
legendary kind of wood grain type thing. And he collected it over the years. He has a full set. So it's back to sitting here right next to my feet. So that's, it's interesting as well. Just to, it's in it. I don't know. What do you think? We're going off far afield, but it's not like we have anything else to talk about. What do you think? I see a lot today of them remaking like current players into old cards, which is kind of cool, but it seems like to me, again, I'm not collecting as much, so maybe it's not, but it seems to me like maybe it's being a little bit overdone. I mean, you know, you see like, you know, a Mike Trout in a 1987 card in an 83 or an 84 type, you know, look to tops. And like I said, some of that's kind of cool, but some of it feels like, you know, there's almost too much of it.
Yeah. And like I said, I haven't really, I used to buy several packs a year just to buy cards and see which ones I've gotten. And I've even gotten away from that in the past 5 or 6 years. So I haven't really seen as much as you talked about, but that makes a lot of sense. The death of baseball cards bothered me. You know, whenever they just became oversaturated or whatnot, because I just remember, you know, collecting there in the late 80s, early 90s. You know, when Upper Deck came out, that was just a game changer. You know, those cards were so nice. And then after that, it just kind of went downhill, which was always sad to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once the Upper Deck charged $1 a pack for cards, and then Topps had to come out with something fancy. I think it was Topps Chrome
that came
out. Yeah. It was fancy. And somebody, you know, Fleer had to come up with something. And it just got to be so many of them and so expensive that, yeah, that's about the time. So I think Upper Deck's a 90, 91. And I think I collected another year or so after that. And that's about,
yeah,
for various reasons, not because of the, for various reasons, stopped collecting quite as much. But yeah, I haven't bought a pack. It's hard to find packs, at least around here. I mean, I think I saw some at Walgreens in like a box, you know, you should have, but just to buy an individual pack or two, you know, like you used to be at the, you know, at the cash register or whatever, you used to have, you know, buy some out of a box, but I don't find those as much around here.
No. Yeah. I mean, and that's even at the local Walmart to get them, you have to go down the specialty aisle. You know what I mean? The novelty aisle there on the side. They're not not as prevalent as they used to be out and open. And that's, I used to love it. Because if you could go to outside of the card shows where you would go see the celebrities and stuff like that, I mean, that took it to a different level. But it was almost like those side of the road gas stations was where you would find your gems, you know, and some of those cards. And everybody back then had, you know, your Fleer, Topps, Donruss, and Upper Deck was a game changer when they came out. But, you know, everybody used to have the different companies there on their, you know, right there on the by the checkout counter. Now it's I always thought that was awesome.
Yeah, where they were. I really liked the score cards.
Score, that's another. Yeah, it's that,
was that first set was so, because it was so colorful. I mean, the whole card was so, you know, they had like what, you know, 6-7 different colors in the set. You know, there's like the first 100 were orange, and the second were green, and the third 100 were blue or whatever, and they just really stood out, especially that first year. I have a full set of those. What with my collection?
Was it Bowman that did the odd size cards?
Yeah,
they were bigger than the other ones. Okay, that's, I couldn't remember because I remember they never fit in your book. But Bowman, you didn't see in that regular anyway.
Yeah, they were, and then Topps bought them, and then after I think about 92, somewhere in there, where we're talking about, they did start making them more of the random standard size.
Yeah,
they had the Bowman label on them, but yeah, that's those late 80s ones were oversized. They stick off the top of your sleeve. And
yeah, we probably have lost a lot of the people at this point who would care about the cards. But what would you say is the most iconic card of our generation? I've got one that I feel like is a slam dunk, but what would you think it was?
I mean, that Griffey Upper Deck.
That's one. That's exactly the one I was talking about. My best friend has it. And he had that, and he had a David Robinson rookie, and he kept them right next to each other. And I could see the backwards cap to this day. That's probably the card.
Yeah, I think it was, because then it was part of the what got Upper Deck going. And it became so expensive. I never saw those. I don't know if there would be another one that stood out for a while. For me, there was the McGuire on the Olympic team.
Oh yeah.
You know, that card was worth a lot, you know, as McGuire was starting to, you know, is before he hit 78, but you know, rookie of the year in you know, 88, 89, that card stood out. I never got one of those, but cause it was getting deal for about $100 there for a while. But yeah, that Griffey one, I think, would have to be the most notable one over that 85 to 95 probably era. That was probably it. Yeah.
Well, and those were the ones that you could get in the pack. Now I ran through a bunch of one of the hobbies outside of getting the Cardinals guys and getting some of the big time stars. I mean, I had a bunch of Clemens cards. Mm-hmm. I had his rookie card, and kept a bunch of his, but one of the things that was fun to track down were the Bo Jackson cards. There were some really great ones, like the black and white shoulder pads with the bat. Yep. The great card.
Yep. Yeah. I have a card that had that picture on it. I don't know if that was the, you know, cause I used it a few other times too, but yeah. And I know our local, we had a place inside of a pharmacy, and then the pharmacy went and built a new building, and they built the whole thing in the back. It was a whole card shop.
And, awesome.
You know, so they had all the cases, and I was in there quite often. But and then they had the poster. You remember those old posters?
Yeah.
Was it Costco or not? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I have the Bash Brothers with like McGuire dressed up with the Blues Brothers type of thing. Like,
I had two. Well, that's it's funny that the Bo Jackson one, because that was a poster too. Mm-hmm. But my two favorite posters in their classics, the two that I had, were my two favorite athletes. I had Ozzie, and it was a Wizard poster, and he was completely laid out vertical.
Yeah,
and I had that one, and then I had Larry Bird sitting on the hay bale on the basketball goal, and those were the two posters that I had in my room.
Yep. Yeah, I had, of course, I had, it's sad to say, my room that I was in with my teenage years and such, you know, had wallpaper, but you couldn't see it because I had posters up, and then I would cut out any article any box scores, whatever, of like, I had like 7 or 8 people I was following.
Yeah.
And then I just pin them on my wall. And, you know, when we took that down, when we moved, I don't think there was much wallpaper left.
Sure.
But yeah, Ozzy was one. I still have had the Sports Illustrated article for that, you know, that was about him and the cover and all that, and covering up with him. It was an interesting time. I just, you know, that's not something people do now. I mean, ball cards are collect. I mean, see it on Twitter. I know people are still collecting cards and things of that nature, but it's a little bit more, a little different. You know, you are looking for the, you know, you're looking for the autographed Jack Flaherty with a little bit of a uniform swipe, and not just a Jack Flaherty card.
Yeah,
it feels like you're looking for the chase cards instead of just enjoying the cards as much.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lost art. It was a lot of fun back when it was in its heyday.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a time, and it's just amazing how many people, you know, collected those cards thinking they were going to be worth so much. It was going to pay for college and
all that. Yeah, exactly.
Not so much after that. So, all right. Well, we've rambled down a few side aisles and things of that nature, but you know, that's when there's not much baseball to talk about, that's just what we're going to do. So we'll be back at you maybe next week. Maybe not. We'll just see how we feel, and we may get in, we may start talking about cards again.
I welcome any baseball card conversation.
That's right. We'll figure out something. But until then, that is Alan. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.